Welcome to the third and only third episode of Tavern Tussle. I am your co-host, Cam Bams, and as always, I am joined by...
Karateka.
That's the other co-host, because as we established in episode one, you can't have just one co-host. So, I'm feeling bad. I feel bad about last week, you know?
I am disappointed that that happened.
A little upset, you know, the quality took a dip there.
I just never expected it to happen so far in. Like, we had perfect, like, we had no problems for, like, 30 to 40 minutes straight. Nothing. And then all of a sudden, yeah. Just, like, a glitch in the system.
And it didn't happen, like, in real time. Like, on the headphones, everything sounded fine. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden, we play it back, and we're like, shit, it's already super late. Like, you need to get home. Like, what are we going to do?
I mean, what? We spent an hour and a half just like trying to fix absolutely it. Every possible thing we could try, scouring fucking forums. Internet. Like, no, just didn't matter.
It seemed no one on the planet had our same problem. It was just one of those things where it was like, you guys have to deal with this because no one else has dealt with it. So I'm like, whatever, man. It's cool. But this week, we're back. The problem is solved. And if it's not, then you'll find out. You will find out soon.
God, I hope you don't.
Yeah. So yeah, let's kick it off talking about our game this week. We played in Andy's game. Mm-hmm. Your character and Kyle's new character got introduced.
Yes.
You want to give a little backstory on your new character?
So, I am playing a half-orc paladin. Well, technically he's a first-level barbarian, fourth-level paladin, just for the sake of his backstory, being born into an orcish clan, and obviously being raised there. He didn't leave that until well into orcish adulthood.
Yeah.
So that had to have been established. Like, that's where he was, and that's how he was trained, you know, in that type of society.
Do you really train how to be a barbarian, or are you just kind of like Conan out?
I mean, I like to think orcs, I mean, yeah, I know they're wild and shit, but I like to think there's some kind of structure.
I mean, yeah, you learn how to swing a sword or an axe with proficiency and stuff, but
an aggression.
I think like the whole barbarian nature, like you can't teach that, man. Yeah, that has to be like true. Inside you.
Just pure savagery.
Exactly. Yeah. Just rampage.
But that's how he was raised. And gotcha. Then obviously, you know, there was a conflict due to, I don't know like how much detail you want me to go into. There's the way I wrote the backstory is about 150 years ago.
See, okay. I'm going to stop right there because I want to do an episode on creating a backstory.
Okay. See, but, I didn't know how much detail you wanted to go into.
Yeah, no.
Okay. So, yeah, something happened due to the structure of their society, which caused my character to leave his clan. And he traveled far away because he needed to distance himself for a particular reason, where he settled with his sisters. He brought along his two sisters.
Are his two sisters also half-orcs? Or are they like full human?
Yeah, they're also half-orcs.
Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of part of that whole society type deal where those three children were bared from the particular wife of the chief. Yeah, it's like super complex. Like I went into like crazy detail with it.
We'll read you the audiobook later.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Then they settled into a half orc ish friendly-ish economy. It was mostly humans, but obviously like half orcs kind of
they were open minded.
Yeah, they wasn't like, no, you're not allowed to be here.
Yeah. There were no border walls in this town.
Yeah. At least that's what he thought for years. I mean, him and his family lived there for years. Obviously being kind of savages, they didn't like live the high life. but he would take like mercenary type jobs or maybe like hard labor because he's strong and, you know, do stuff yeah. like that. And then along came another kind of deep betrayal that would happen to him, which would actually involve people killing him. And then the deity Anubis would present himself to Throck, which is the name of my character.
And that's so interesting how you chose Anubis, because Anubis is an Egyptian deity. And so the fact that you have this Egyptian deity in Dungeons and Dragons is yeah. interesting. I don't know how it like messes with Andy's pantheon of deities in his game.
We'll see.
But I mean, the fact that you chose him, like, it's interesting because it's not something you expect.
It was like the perfect deity for what, like, my thought process on how I wanted my, like, my character's, like, personality to be, I yeah. guess you would say. I mean, he, the way it's described is he is the deity of judgment and death.
So that totally fits your Punisher archetype yes. you're going for.
Like, the whole thought process was, yes, like, it's not an evil paladin. My oath is vengeance. Like, he wants to avenge, like, the two betrayals also hurt his family. So he's out for vengeance for evil people who hurt his family. But then Anubis was like, yeah, no, I'll make you this deal. Like, I can give you these powers, and this is what I'm setting you back on, you know, whatever realm or whatever.
Yeah, so now Throck is this basic mercenary who's like, he's like a justice dealer.
Yeah.
And then he finds evil out in the world, and then he judges it.
Yeah.
So he's judge, it's jury, the executioner. Whole
judge, jury, executioner yeah. type deal. And in his mind, he's like, or in reality, I guess he's not evil because, like, his alignment isn't evil because in his mind, the, like, if the punishment is death, that is the judgment. Like,
yeah. And I mean, and as the character grows and as we explore and do other adventures, I'm sure that at some point you'll have this judgment come down that's not death.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be all a character arc or whatever. But I enjoyed the way that...
Character development.
Yeah.
It's all like, yeah.
I enjoyed the way that you played him last night, and he was interesting. Like, the banter between, like, him and my Goliath Rogue character was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
And the way that Andy brought us all together was pretty nice because we all had a common goal for different reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, because that can be the hardest part of Dungeons & Dragons when you first start out, is getting these characters to want to work together. And I think he did a fantastic job of that. And then Kyle's new character is a half-human, half-drow warlock, which is... We'll get into that later.
Yeah. Whatever. Oh, man.
But... He's interesting in that his pact for his warlock was done with the Raven Queen, which I don't exactly agree with because I feel like warlock pacts have to come from different entities other than deities. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. deities create paladins and clerics and stuff like that. Whereas demons, devils, and aberrations form packs with warlocks. But it's not my game, so whatever. He can do whatever he wants. That's the beauty of D&D. You have yeah. freedom to do these things. But he's basically a warlock who's sworn to rid the world of the undead. So, that's interesting. It kind of coalesces with your whole, you know, justice dealing, seek out evil, destroy it. Yeah. Because most undead is evil. Not all undead is evil. You know, so that could be interesting if Andy throws in some, like, good undead creatures.
Yeah, that's true. That's a possibility. So
that would be interesting. But yeah, I think that, you know, your guy Throck and then his warlock Matt, my rogue and the wizard, are, it's going to work out. You know, we're not going to split this party again because...
At least you like to think so.
Yeah, right. Because... wherever there's adventure and wherever there's evil to be vanquished, there's always payment.
And yeah.
Egon, Krull, Karen Tornico, the Goliath Rogue loves payment. So, there's, but yeah, this week's game was fun. I enjoyed it. It was nice. It was like the expedition to like the new party kind of thing. And I think it's going to be good. Like, Andy's been doing a really good job, especially for being a first-time DM.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not upset at anything. But yeah, but that brings us into the topic of the week. Role-playing.
Yes.
Man. Role-playing is hard.
It is hard.
And it's half of Dungeons & Dragons, because Dungeons & Dragons is a role-playing game. Like, it's in the name of it, you know? So, you have to break this stallion that is how to role-play. You know, you can't... It's not something you just do. It's not always easy for everyone, you know? Like, that pit of your stomach feeling of not knowing how to role play a character.
Yeah, and every time you have an idea, you're like, is that how it's done? Like,
yeah.
Am I wrong? Am I right?
I mean, and you can break this down into, you know, different parts of the character.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Definitely.
And the easiest thing to do to improve your role play is just to come up with a voice. You know? Like, my Goliath talks in some kind of German, Russian, Italian accent.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Like, and that is one thing that I didn't do that I should have done, is if you're going to give your character that you're role-playing an accent, make sure it's one that you can keep up. Like, make sure it's one that you can do all the time, you know? Like, because changing a character's voice, you'll be astounded at how that makes it so much easier to, like, get into character.
Yeah.
Because if they have a different voice than your own, all of a sudden, it starts to become that...
It's a different person.
Exactly.
In your mind, you're like, that's not my voice, so it has to be someone different.
Exactly. Like, this person isn't going to think the way I think because they talk different.
I mean, you should have seen me putting together... This is the first time I've ever played any kind of, like, half-orc, orc, like, the first time. And I wasn't actually in front of a mirror, but if you want to, like, picture what I was doing, I was like, how do I sound like a half-orc?
With your human lungs and lips.
I started doing weird shit. I was like, where do I talk like this? And I was like, what the hell am I supposed
just
to do?
Just grunting and stuff. I mean, it becomes so easy, you know, like you just did, like, just drop your voice into the lower register. And you're Batman.
I was about to say.
Or do it high, and all of a sudden you're a halfling. I feel fucking ridiculous, but that's the point.
Yes.
You can't feel ridiculous, you know? Like, just changing a character's voice is like a stepping stone to becoming a great role player. Just use an accent. You know, like, all of a sudden, like, I'm kind of, I don't know, like, British, Australian, whatever. Terrible accent, but
and
that's
see,
different.
And like right now, like you did that. I didn't know you were going to do that, and I laughed. But it's because it's fun, and you're not.
Yeah.
You're making it fun for you, and you're kind of making it fun for everyone else.
Yeah, like I can't even do Egon's voice right now, just
because
I can't
even like because he just did that. I can't even remember what his voice sounds like.
You have to go to party.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. We have to go inside the cave and get the gold. That's not even like what I
Where's
do.
Where's the gold?
Like, yeah, like it's just one of those things. Like, just have fun with it.
And then I was like, that's not an orc. That's not, like, is that some like demon with like marbles in his mouth or some shit?
Orcs
like...
are demons, bro. Orcs aren't demons, Cambams. You're stupid. Yeah, whatever. But, and also, like, you don't even have to do an accent per se. Like, you can imitate a character or a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm that guy. You know, that Jersey guy who drives a cab?
Oh,
you
no.
Know? You know?
I'm just saying.
Or like, you mean Colonel Sanders. Let me see. Well, I do declare that my chicken and biscuits are the best chicken and biscuits in the world. I'm a gnome, but I love chicken and biscuits. You know, like, just emulate someone, and it makes it a lot easier.
You have a lot of experience with,
well, I mean,
voices.
I'm terrible at them. I don't know. Like, I just do it.
Yeah.
You know, just because I've been playing Dungeons & Dragons for so long and I understand, like, DMing for so long, you can't have NPCs all talk the same.
The same exact way. I mean,
but it's just so much more fun to, you know, have that guy that's like, "Welcome to the tavern. What do you want?" Like, it sounds dumb.
Your first old man.
Yeah. "Oh, welcome. Stay a while and listen." You know, like this.
Yeah.
Like, just changing the voice will already put you 10 steps ahead of where you were before when you were role playing.
And just gives it gives life
to exactly.
the game itself.
I mean, and then that voice can also lead into the next part of role playing a character, and that's, you know, personality. Like, who are you? What kind of person are you? Are you this asshole half-orc paladin who just wants to kill things?
Or this, like, giant oversized thief who somehow can pick the pockets of someone 1/8 its size?
Who is actually really charming.
Really yeah. charming.
Yeah. I mean,
I just stole 500 of your gold, but you don't know that, so I'm going to give you this one gold.
Yeah. I just took your coin pouch. You want the vodka? You want to go get some vodka? Oh, God, I feel so bad. I can't. Oh, whatever. Whatever. But no, yeah, like, your personality can get affected by the voice you make, because then you start getting ideas in your head. Like, what kind of person is this that would talk like this? And you just break it down, like, what's their alignment? You know? Are they good-natured? Are they kind of, you know, neutral, like they don't like confrontation that much? Are they just an evil dick? Like, are they only out for themselves?
Did you just look at me? Because now I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, your alignment works into your personality, which comes from your voice. You know, you see a trend here.
You do know, you see a trend with, like, real people's personalities going
exactly.
into their alignment.
Yeah.
Like, when they pick an alignment, you already know what kind of character they're going to play.
Yeah, exactly. You're like that one dude that always plays, like, neutral evil. You're like, yeah. Man, you just
chaotic,
want an excuse to be able to do
chaotic
anything.
Chaotic neutral.
Yeah, like,
it's like I can be in a party with people who want to do good, but I still want to, like, loot and, like, pillage.
I can also be evil when I feel like it. Or those people that I'm true neutral, I can do whatever I want. Like, that's not how the alignment system works. Well, that's a whole other mixed bag to get into. And then even the most basic parts of your character can help you roleplay them better. Like, their race. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just do a little bit of research. Like, the races of Dungeons & Dragons, for the most part, have been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
If you want to find out about, you know, an elf, you Google elves on anything, and all of a sudden you're bombarded.
Elves are, like, one of those races that are just involved in every, like, realm of existence when it comes to,
yeah,
like, whether it be a board game or a video game or, like, movies, like, you know, shows, like, elves are in everything.
Yeah, and I mean, and just because you're playing Dungeons and Dragons doesn't mean you have to be some certain form of elf, you know, because if you look at any society of anything, there are people that, you know, feel one way, and people of the exact same social class who feel a different way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no exact replica of any one race. Like, you look at orcs. Orcs usually are just these terrible, murderous, barbarian people. But then you play a game like World of Warcraft, and all of a sudden they're intelligent, political.
Yeah.
You know, like, they can have compassion. You know, so, I mean, you gotta feel around and stuff. And that can help you develop your character just from looking at their race.
I mean, that's what I did.
Yeah, how people see them, like you did with, like,
Like I said, this is the first time I ever played Half-Orc. Read a little about it, kind of ill-tempered, so it's like, you know, more prone to action than like talking about action. And then I was like, okay, well, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, just getting some basic information on how the race is viewed by other races and then how those races fit into the world makes it extremely easy to, you know, cookie cut a little personality to role play.
Yeah.
It's easy. And then the second half of that is your class. Yep. You know, each class has not only a role in the game, but your class is really how you interact with the world that's not social. That your class determines your combat abilities, your class determines what skills you're good at, you know. So how does your class view the world? You know, if you're a paladin, there are different versions of paladins, but they all kind of have this little box where they serve a deity.
Yeah.
And always so
looking for kind of like that whole justice,
yeah,
type deal, even though like mine is kind of at the lower end. Like, you can have your holy justice, where it's just do good, like help children, help the old sick people, save the world.
And then you have that righteous, thunderous justice, where it's like, you've been judged, that's the end of that. No trial needed. And then, you know, you have the wizard box. Wizards are usually intellectuals who are curious, and they always want to know more.
Whether it be knowledge or power, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where your class really influences, like, you know, a druid. You're close to nature. You can't be a druid and not be close to nature. Like, I'm sure someone at some point would be like, Cam Bams, you're an idiot! But right now, I don't think you can be a druid and not be close to nature. You know? Just one of those things.
I mean, at that point, if I was DM and you're like, yeah, I play this druid and I hate nature, I'd be like, okay, cool. Well, you have none of those abilities then.
Yeah, right. You can't shapeshift or anything. You know what? You can shapeshift into inanimate objects. You're a material druid. You are now a tankard. Someone can drink out of you. Congratulations. Like, that's that thing.
Yeah.
And then especially if your DM is experienced, like in Dungeons and Dragons, talking to NPCs is a great way to flesh out your character. Because if your dungeon master is role playing as someone, and you as a player is role playing as someone, because the dungeon master is pretty much like the glue of the game, you know, they have to keep the pace going and everything. And if they're not role playing, then the party's less likely to roleplay. And the thing about getting better at roleplaying as a party kind of thing is the DM isn't really part of that conversation. Like when your party's sitting down in a tavern and discussing their plans, the DM hears all of these plans, but there's no action he can take because you're just talking amongst yourselves. When you start roleplaying with the DM, all of a sudden, you're not role-playing with your paladin ally. You're role-playing with the blacksmith's son, who's just learning the trade. He's part of that world. Things you say to him affect that world, you know? You're not going to go up to a random, you know, blacksmith and be like, yeah, I just killed this lady an hour ago. Yeah, like, you're not going to do that.
No.
So role-playing with NPCs that your DM is playing as gets you a better respect for where your character fits in the world. And then after that, that's when role-playing with the rest of your party really starts to shine, because then you all kind of have like a basis of like, oh, this is who I am. You know, like you have that person that you're becoming kind of thing. And role-playing when you first start out, unless you did years and years of improv and theater like I did.
That's... And I did not.
Yeah, so I mean,
like,
how did you, like, you roleplay now? I don't think you roleplayed so much when we played years ago.
I mean,
like, what was your transition? Like, when did you realize, like, oh, shit, I'm roleplaying right now? Like, when did that happen for you?
So, like, I guess So it's one of those things that you have to, one, you start playing the game, you know, even if you have no experience role playing, which I didn't. I'd never done any type of theater improv or anything like that. So you start playing the game and you kind of get the basics down. And then you realize once you do that, you kind of hit imaginary walls of how to improve the game for yourself and everyone around you. So once I realized, like, yeah, I can do combat and I can even talk to an NPC, but it was kind of bland, I guess you would say. Mm. I was like, okay, I'm going to kind of start to do things, I guess, like, I wouldn't do it. Like, if you compare your character to yourself in reality, it's like, yeah, I know this is how I act, but that's not who my character is. So what would my character do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when you start to actually say that to yourself and be, oh, well, you know, Karateka would really want to, you know, just leave this place and not have to, you know, have this confrontation. But then you're like, but Throck, he's going to punch that dude at the bar in the face. He's going to have a little tavern tussle, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where you really are stepping out of your
comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's what it was for me anyways. I think that's actually what I was like getting to. Like, it was hard for me, like making, like changing my voice. I went through that. Like, even now I kind of still toss it around in my brain. It's like, I'm going to sound stupid. Like, trying this, I'm going to sound stupid. And it's like, but then I got to the point, like, just try it. Whatever.
I mean, but then the guy sitting across the table from you is using this horrific Russian, German, Italian accent. So,
yeah.
It makes it a little bit easier to step outside the box, because there's no way you're going to look as ridiculous as that guy.
Aside from the fact I'm busting up laughing while trying to make an orc voice. But, yeah, no, like, I just started, like, trying stuff. Even if, like, I thought it was wrong. Because whether it was wrong or not, it turned into something fun.
Yes. And that's the point where you're like, oh, this is actually fun.
Like, even if it was wrong, the people around me could take that wrong thing and react to it. And then you can take what they did and react to that. And then it just becomes a domino effect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because the biggest thing with role-playing Dungeons & Dragons is you have to surround yourself with people who are okay with that.
You have to surround yourself with, like, good people.
I mean, because if, you know, you're the only one at the table and you're trying out a voice, or you're, you know, you're putting yourself in your character's shoes and doing something that you would never do in real life. Like, if the people around the table don't understand that, and, like, every time you try your voice, they just, like, laugh at you and it takes everyone out of the game, like, that's not constructive to what you're trying to do. And there are games, and I've played in games where no one role plays, and it's just played like a video game, to where, you know, you roll dice, you kill monsters, you get loot, you kill bigger monsters. That's it. There's no role play. Like, when you go to the shop to buy health potions, you don't talk to anyone. You're just like, DM, I'm going to the shop. How much do I owe you? And that's that. Whereas now, like, the game that I play is, you know, you go to that shop, you bargain with that NPC, you buy the health potions, you know, and you go to the tavern, you order your meal, you know, you actually interact with the world, because I, in my mind, that's a lot more fun, because Dungeons and Dragons, a role-playing game, you know? And that's just how I view it. Like, role-playing is half of the name. So, if you're not going to role-play, then play Warhammer.
A particular experience that happened recently, without giving anything away, we'll just say that I had looted, I guess it wasn't exactly looted, but I had, you know, acquired an item from an enemy creature that I had killed, but I wasn't able to tell, like, what it was, or, like, what properties it, like, contained or whatever, but I could tell that it was, like, some type of magical item. Well, I had to take it. I took it back to town. I asked somebody for like a, you know, like a sage shaman type deal. If there was somebody who would, you know, understand this type of item, with this or this type of magic, like this is like what I understood because of detect magic or whatever the case may be. I'm interacting with the NPCs. I wasn't just like, I didn't walk into town and be like, yeah, I need to know what this item is, DM.
Yeah, no, because like last night, whenever we got done with our big encounter with like the main boss of the dungeon we were in, like she had magical items because we saw her use them. We don't know exactly what they do. And so in my game, when you get a magical item, you have to identify it or have to take it to someone who can identify it to tell you what it does. Or you just attune to it through certain parameters and you just kind of innately know what it does because you wore it for a long time. But when Andy started doing things, like Kyle found those magic bracers.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Plus two like, con braces.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you pick it up, you know, it gives you plus two constitution and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
how do you know that?
I was like, how? Like, yeah, he's a warlock, I get that, but how does he just know? You know? And like, there was also like the staff or whatever. And I was like, that staff is badass. There's no way you just pick it up and know what it does.
Yeah.
You know, like, but that's difference. That's differences of how they like play the game. And I understand that. But, you know, after a while, he was like, all the braces do this, but you're going to have to identify that staff. And I'm like, if you're going to do it for one thing, do it for everything. You know, don't pick and choose, whatever. But, I mean, yeah, but it's just one of those things where, if you're not role-playing, then I don't think it's as fun.
No.
It's really not.
It loses a lot of its, the game's personality, I guess you would say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's like, the game does have a personality. And if you're not, you know, giving it that little oomph, then it's like talking to a mute. You know? Like, you're trying to have a conversation with someone who's deaf, but you don't speak sign language. You know? Like, I don't, like, when I worked at Starbucks, we had a lady come in and she was deaf, but only one of us knew sign language, and she wasn't always there, and so we did a little thing where we all learned a little bit of sign language just to be able to, you know, communicate with this person, because I feel like when you're talking to a deaf person, like, writing things down and having them read it and then write back to you, it just seems almost insulting. And it just made me feel weird. And I understand that's the only way we could communicate, but just that exchange, just like, I don't know, it was uncomfortable, it was weird. Like, I want to be able to talk to this person the way that they're used to talking. I don't want to like have to write down things, kind of thing. But that's what you're doing when you're role playing with someone who doesn't role play, you're speaking two different languages.
Yeah.
And it's just awkward and weird. If everyone just get on the same page, it'd be great. You know, everyone would have more fun.
Yeah. I feel like you just have to understand, just take that step. You know, whether you feel embarrassed, whether you think it's wrong or whatever, you kind of just have to take that step, because if you never start, you're never going to finish type deal.
Yeah, and then you can find that once you're doing it and you're having more fun,
it's contagious.
Exactly, because we'd play in my game and no one would really role play. Like my fiance Aaliyah, like that's all she does. Like she would role play a lot, but she wouldn't do it as much because no one else would. So she would feel weird, like that uncomfortable feeling, because she was role playing and no one else was. And so, like, she almost wanted to stop playing, kind of thing. But then we fast forward to Andy starting his game, and me, and just the eccentric role player that I am.
Yeah.
Everyone started doing it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was one of those things, like, you can be the little snowball that rolls down the hill, and then, you know, you become this big, glorious thing. You have to be the one to start the fire to get it burning, you know? So yeah, learn how to role play. Do it. Do it now. It's not as hard as you're making it out to be.
I feel like that's like one of those major issues. Like everybody thinks or I guess you would say overthinks it.
Yeah, like you feel ridiculous. But then if everyone's doing it, all of a sudden you don't feel ridiculous.
You are, I mean, you're playing a game.
I mean, look at this, right? It used to be whenever you'd go out, it was ridiculous to think that you'd be sitting around a table with people and not talking to them. Now, you go out, you see people out to dinner, no one's talking to each other, and everyone's on their phones.
Yeah.
It became this ridiculous, like, I can't believe you're on your phone right now, really, we're trying to hang out, to now, everyone's doing it.
Why are you talking to me right now? You know I'm trying to text.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just one of those things, like, once one person does it, another person will do it, another person, you know, like, if your group is not feeling the whole role play and energy, then be the one that does it. And then have fun with it.
Yeah.
And once you have fun with it, everyone will be like, well, maybe I should try it. You know? And they'll tiptoe into it. And all of a sudden, you're all swimming in role play. And it's beautiful. And then we can have times where there's nothing but 45 minutes of role play. And you get nothing done. But you had, like, the time of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, like... I know a couple people who look forward to that combat encounter, but damn,
yeah.
Just like whether it be puzzles or just illusions or whatever the case may be that has nothing to do with combat that involves like role playing and thinking. It's, I don't know. It just brings new life.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts of D&D is that between times, that downtime, because I think it's real fun to find out about other people's characters. And then, you know, once you uncover that mystery of who they are, well, then you're role playing and you're telling stories to each other kind of thing. Like you are building a story. It's no longer just the DM telling you what's happening. If everyone's role playing, they're all part of it. And it becomes like this magical thing, you know? Like, if you want to see, like, really good roleplay D&D, then watch Critical Role on Twitch or YouTube. Because they're all actors, and they're all playing D&D, and so character development is super important to them. And, like, you watch that, and, like, you get invested in these characters, man. Like, if one of them goes down in combat, you feel it. You're like, oh, shit. Oh, God, that's my favorite character. That's, oh, God. You know, like, it's one of those things where they are so good at role-playing, you, just watching, get invested. So, I mean, just try it out. You know? Like, watch Critical Role. Just watch one episode of Critical Role and be like, damn, that's role-playing. You know? And then just see how that fits in your table. Yeah. I think that's enough rambling about role play.
Yeah.
Do you have any
covered it.
Any closing comments, Karateka?
Let's see. What do we
Don't make any promises. We don't know.
Don't make any promises.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
We're trying to work on a special episode with maybe a guest, but we're not committing to anything.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll just have to tune in next week to find out what happens.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have two episodes.
Maybe.
Dun, dun, we're making dun. Progress.
We'll see. We will see. But yeah. So yeah, that's it for me. I have been Cam Bams and
I'm Karateka.
And we hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. We look forward to you listening to us again next week. As always, you can reach us on Twitter at Tavern Tussle. You can email us, taverntussle@gmail.com. And please, you know, don't be afraid. Let us know what you think. Let us know if there's something you want us to talk about. Just send us questions. Tell us you hate the sound of our voice. Or tell us you love the sound of our voice. It doesn't matter. Just communicate.
I love that.
I love you. I love your voice. I'm just talking like that all next week. Like, yeah, what's up? I'm role-playing.
Okay.
There you go. Boom. So, yeah. Thank you very much for spending time with us, listening to us. And we hope you've gotten some enjoyment out of this episode. And we hope that you role-play next time you play Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah. That's it for me. I hope you have a wonderful day.